need. I am so thankful for Sunday school. I go to Sunday school class. I don't teach a Sunday school class. I've never taught one here because I need that time for someone to pour into my life and to teach me. And Mike's like me, lots of talk, but to make sure you get the main point of what was on his heart was that time, that hour on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, it's a pastor for my children too. Many, it's the most valuable hours of the week. So I encourage you. It doesn't require a lot. Now Satan will fight it every way he can, but I encourage you. That hour, that 10 to 11 hour is amazing what God can do. And not just for children, but adults too. So thank you, Mike. I couldn't help but think, Mike, and since I gave you that time, I never will forget when they were playing all that ball he mentioned on Sunday. You know, that's a big thing now. That didn't exist when I was coming along, when Hilton was playing. It didn't even exist, you know. Should tell you something. But, you know, but it was amazing how Mike could give me all these explanations for how that was okay. And Mike's testimony, I never bought any one of them. And I continually would just periodically tell Mike, in fact, took him lunch one day and said, this is a problem. I'm real burdened about it. And I appreciate Mike's openness to it. Now, everybody's not that open. Usually when I talk to somebody about something like they leave church. But Mike hung in, and God worked on him. I love Mike, love you, family, and thank you for your testimony. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, near the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 1. If you're physically able to stand with me, don the reading of His Word. These 10 verses have just keep growing in my life. I introduced this passage last week thinking that we'd spend a small portion of time in it, and I have no idea how long God will keep us here, because some of the greatest themes what we deal with in life, in our personal lives, in our church life, our work life, school life, and just in life in general, the life now and then the life we'll spend future in heaven, is really based on these 10 verses. So let's read these again together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." And we'll not get past those three end words that are the word of life this morning. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which with the Father was manifested to us, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And don't miss verse 4. We'll not really get here this morning, but look at verse 4. Think of verse 4. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So many people today, maybe you, joy is anything but full because of things in life. Verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we've heard of Him," talking about the word of life, talking about Jesus, "and declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Lord, I'm so thankful for the word of life. The word of life, Jesus, we're thankful. For this word of life that we've read from Jesus, we're thankful. For Mike's testimony, which have within it, Lord, your words of life. And Lord, we're so reminded this morning that every moment of every day, darkness attempts to play a bigger part in our life. And sin is such a real and desperate problem for each one of us. We never arrive. We never conquer it. We never master it. We just, if we'll turn to you, Lord, we're more humbled. And we understand it more. And we seek your help more. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you'll open up this word of life to us once again this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Be seated. Look at those three words. That's where we're focused this morning. If I had a title this may, it'd simply be the word of life. This passage, John, I mentioned last Sunday, John is basically saying he's kind of overwhelmed, he's excited. God has spoken to him, and he's saying it's real. It's real. He's talking about that this word of life that's real. Jesus is real. He talks about seeing him and hearing him and touching him. It's all real. And we live in a world that continually, everywhere we go, every corner we turn, every time we cut on the TV, every time you go online, every time you go out into the world, you go to school, you go to work, so many more people that are constantly trying to tell you either it's not real, he's not real, it's not that important, or that it's just not as important as it says it is. Now think about that a moment. How important is the Word of God? Well, it's just as important as the Word of life Christ tells us that it is. It is the most important thing. As I began to think about this, the idea that John is planting these 10 verses is that we can have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the Word of life, just like he did. God knew when these words were penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was thinking about you and I. God was thinking about this week. He was thinking about this Sunday, but he's thinking about tomorrow and every day, about the impact and the power that he wants the Word of life to have in our lives. It's that important. He was literally, that's who God is, how powerful God is. That's how all-knowing God is. He knew that just as important when John penned it, it'd be important to every one of us. And to be reminded that this is, he's describing here the words like fellowship and joy, and it's a picture of having this close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This close personal relationship comes through this word of life, comes through this word that he's given us, and it is so precious. And it's almost faded out on the corner of my Bible. It still is a holy Bible, amen? It's the holy word of God. It is the word of life. And when you enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he continually wants to use the word of life to show us that sin nature that's in us. Nobody rate us when we begin with him especially and then begin to go around and then end up with me, and we begin to talk about just the power and the impact of sin on our lives this week. Amen? Just the evidence that's there. But this wonderful thing is, if you've struggled this week with some type of temptation, if you've struggled and you've gone beyond temptation into sin, but praise God and thank him that you have a knowledge of and a conviction of sin. Because all around us are people who do not have the word of life living in them through Jesus Christ. And without the word of life, there's no knowledge of sin. There's no conviction of sin. Oh, you people might feel like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but it's just not the same thing at all. Remember, we said last week that John had this physical nearness to Jesus Christ. It'd be really easy for us to say, well, you know, hey, if I could have seen him and touched him and heard his words, it'd have been a lot easier for me to understand how important he is and to follow him and listen to him. It wouldn't have been. It really wouldn't have been. There's even a passage in the Bible where you have someone that's died and they've gone to hell and they're crying out and they're just begging God to send somebody back, begging for Jesus to go back and just go back to their brothers and family and other people that they're around, their friends, and to tell them. And Jesus very clearly says, no, it wouldn't make a difference. So how that can it be? Because it's all centered on a choice that we make about the word of life. I began to think back in time and kind of amazing, not even knowing if Mike was going to be here. I knew we couldn't do it last week, didn't know when we'd have him share. I walked by, I saw Mike, he said, hey, am I on, you know. But I began to think about, and it kind of goes parallel to what he's talking about, I began to think about this word of life. Because when you see those three words, the word of life, literally seven times in the Bible, that phrase, the original, that phrase word of life meant Christ. It meant Jesus. So when you see the word in that verse 1, that word of life, that's Jesus, okay? And so what it means is when the word of life is being shared and the word of life becomes centered in our life, it's Jesus coming in that relationship, it's Jesus showing up. I begin to think about, I'm so thankful that I had parents who the word of life was living inside of them, and the word of life was part of growing up. It was part of the house. So the word of life, Jesus was present, Sherry, there when I was growing up and I was able to hear words of life. And so the conviction comes with this. When we have the word of life, that's what God wants us to share to him. It's the word of life is the words that God needs to hear from us in every moment of every day. From the time we get up in the morning, no matter how tired we are, how aggravated we are, how far away from God, that wake up in the morning, that for our family, for our friends, at work, at school, that we literally, if you know Jesus Christ, you literally have the word of life dwelling inside of us. We have this relationship, and that's the words people need to hear. Amen? Because there's a whole lot of the words going on, amen? Good gracious alive. Funny, and Scott had done such a great job on our Sunday school lesson today, as he does every Sunday, really. But sometimes, Scott, you really just grab my heart. And in his study, been the book of Revelation, and he had a quote by someone, and he said, does anybody know who the quote was by? And I can't remember the quote or say it for you, memorized it, but it was Sir Isaac Newton. He said, well, Sir Isaac Newton was a scientist, but yet people don't really know that he gets gravity and the apple and all that stuff. But he was a theologian. And never forget, Scott, what you said this morning. You said that he wrote a million word commentary on the idea of what we were talking about this morning. I'm like, man, a million words. But a million words of a brilliant man like Sir Isaac Newton, who was a scientist and a very smart man and who was a theologian, a million words of his mean nothing compared to this word of life. The only thing that really mattered in those million words would be scripture and things that he got from the word of life that he shared. Amen? So we had the social media and all these words are pouring out at us all the time. I mean, it is crazy how many words we can receive, and we always need to be holding the light, saying that God, Jesus Christ, the word of life wants to come. I was blessed to grow up in church and go to Sunday school. And this week as I studied, I'm like, man, the word of life. There it was in the Sunday school class. There it was in Bible school. And there it was. It was the word of life. And that's the word that he gives us. And that's the word we have to share. Look at me there in verse 1. And I want us to really focus for a moment on what it means when we see that. And so maybe during this week, if you can't take anything outside of this message, that you begin to think about the idea the word of life is Christ. That the word of life is absolutely that. It's life. Amen? So any other words that are coming at us, opinions and information and all we have, as interesting as they may be and how important they may seem in our lives, there is nothing compared to this word of life. The actual word that we find in that verse is the word in the original language, in the Greek language, logos. There's a Bible software, Aaron, you're familiar, called Logos Bible software. And that word in the Bible literally translates Christ. It is not just a word, but it's the word. It is Christ. And the word means literally word sayings, an account of something like speech that's coming, like a thing. But what you really nets down to, when we see this word in the Bible, don't forget this. What we're saying is this is his word. These are his sayings. These are his account of what has happened, his account of what's going on right now, and it's his account of what's going to happen in the future. That's what I love about the book of Revelation that I mentioned we're studying in Sunday school. We come through the first three chapters. As we enter chapter 4 to go to chapter 22, we're learning this morning how that's things to come, things that yet have not come. Scott uses the term that we'll view those from the mezzanine as knowing Jesus Christ, having that word, we'll be raptured up already and we'll be viewing these things that will happen. But folks, it's exciting to know that God's account of what's going on in your life right now is the only one that matters. Amen? It's the only one that matters. You can explain, just like Mike used to try to explain the way to me, missing all those Sundays, traveling around playing baseball, and it didn't mean a thing. Amen? Your account, your understanding of where you're at, Leonard, means nothing. We all, and my dad used to make the phrase, that he could be very creative in getting what he wanted. And I realized that we can be very creative in our account, in our understanding of why we're where we at and why we're doing what we're doing or not doing. Hey, we can get so embedded in that we are so far away from his account. I'm telling you, what the word of life is, when you get under the word of life, and by the way, many of you are not opening this word of life during the week like you should, or not at all, because when you begin to open it up, the word of life comes out. The Spirit of God, Jesus, comes out and it begins to give his understanding, his review of our lives. And oftentimes, Chris, I don't like it. I don't like what he's revealing, because the word of life wants to get with every one of us every day, multiple times during the day, and what he wants to do is give his account, his understanding, which is the truth of why we're doing what we're doing and not doing. That's what it does. So we avoid it because it can be painful to do that. It's his account, his of what's going on now, and but what's getting ready to happen if we continue on that path and what's going to happen in the future. It literally, that word logos can translate thing. And that may sound a little unusual, but when you replace it with this is his thing. We're so good at that, aren't we? Oh, I love to hear many of you talk. Man, some of you, your gifts and what you can make and do, your hobbies, your work. I mean, I just love, part of what I love about ministering, just being with different people that God has created and given them different gifts. There's so many things that you can do that I can't do. There's so many things that you're interested in that I love to just hear you talk about it, so passionate about it. But what God wants to say through the word of life, what he comes in our life and says is, hey, it's his thing. It's not our thing. Amen. We love things, don't we? Yeah, now y'all looking so spiritual to me, so serious and so holy. But you know what your thing is, right? You know what you love. You know what you like to do. You know what you like to have. You know what's on your list. But the word of life, when it comes in, he begins to say that this life that he's given us is his. It's his thing. Think about that. You're his thing. You're his thing. So the person you love most, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, a grandchild, a child, the thing that's most important to you, for God, it's you. It's you and I. He says, you're my thing. And what I desire so much is to get this word of life into every part of your life. I want more than just Sunday morning. I want more than even just, you know, 2 hours on Sunday morning. I've said it time. I came out of the business world, so oftentimes I feel most comfortable talking to people that in the business world, and I love to sit down with people that are so important in the business world. Amen? They're just wonderful to sit down with, because I sit down and I look and say, oh, how I used to think and act just like that. But oftentimes I'll sit down with someone and people that that are own businesses, or you work with a business, or you are a manager, or you're a number one employee, or you've got a skill team nobody else has got. The one thing that can kind of come when the world of life is not in your life, what happens is you get really busy. And you're so busy, it's really hard to get everything done. Am I talking to anybody this morning? It's really hard to make time for all the things that you have to do and that you want to do and that you need to do. And then all of a sudden, we see this word of life jumping off the page of the Bible, and God's saying, no, it's all about my thing. My favorite statement, Miss Linden, I've sat down, and me and Jim, we've talked about this before. I love Jim loves to pick at me. If he stops picking on me, I'm sure he'll be mad at me. Amen. Pray for him. He's at home with a bad, terrible headache. Been sick a lot lately. But I remember a long time ago sitting down with Jim. Jim loves to have breakfast. Let's have breakfast, you know. People ask me to go eat. I said, I eat about six times a day. I'm available. So, you know. But I never forget, Jim didn't come to church as much as he does now then, and I remember sitting with him, and I love to listen to all that stuff. Mike's like, listen to you. I listen to all that stuff. Now you know what I'm thinking. I'll listen to you, and I'm just waiting for my turn, you know, because what I want to talk about is the word of life, amen, because I've lived too many hours and too many days, and I've wasted too much time, amen. I've wasted it, so I want to speak the word of life. It's my favorite thing to do, especially a businessman. I said this, I said, well, you know, and business people think this way, you know. Well, and I said, well, there's 168 hours in the week. Well, if you ever done the multiplication, but you take 24 by 7, see how good I am. I couldn't do that in my head, but I calculate before I came. It's 168 hours. 168 hours. Some of you are like, preacher, wrong. There ain't no way I had 168 hours this week, or I'd have got a lot more done. It's 168 hours in a week. I said, now what I'm simply asking you as pastor is I'm asking you for four. I said, for a long time before I came a pastor, somebody through God's inspiration, I believe, came up with a four-hour that works pretty good. Now, about 160 hours a week, you think may give four to God? Well, it's hard. It's hard for some of y'all. And I said, you know, we're going to come to Sunday school. That's an hour. That's in the morning on the Lord's Day. By the way, you know this is the Lord's Day, right? His day. So I said, we're going to ask for 3 hours of the 24 in his day. Well, she had to come to Sunday school. ask you to stump for preaching, and come back Sunday night. 3 hours, 3 hours. So you done got three knocked out of the four. And then on Wednesday, they're going to ask you to come back at 7, you know. Now, I tell the testimony all the time. I used to have to go to church on Sunday morning. That was a rule. If you lived under my mom and dad's, you had to go to church on Sunday morning, okay? That was it. That was a rule. Didn't matter what you did Saturday night. Didn't matter how you felt Sunday morning. You were going to church. It's a good thing, amen? But I never forget. Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, who wants to do that? And I worked for my uncle at the time that would make statements like, it just takes more church for some people than others. I like that one, Eric. I said, hey, that worked for me. I ain't one of them people. I said, come back 4 hours, 168. Why, preacher, why is that important? Well, it just works. It just works. Me and my wife used to laugh going into ministry because, and believe it or not, this is true. We said, well, at least we go to church. I know men that go to seminary, and they're a lot smarter than I am, but they ain't been going to church when they get out. And it's hard for them to get to church, y'all right? 4 hours, 468. Now, it might work even beyond businessmen. We all have 168. As a pastor, I'm asking you for four. I got to the point, though, in my life where on Wednesday night, I needed it. I couldn't get from one Sunday to the next. Now, some of y'all, you got it figured out better than I do, and you're able to do that. My personal testimony, I couldn't get from one to the next. I needed some more of the word of life. Because the life that I was living in and I do now, and the life that you do, literally drains. It drains everything out of us. And oftentimes it's draining that you don't know. And so what I say is this. I would do things like this. I started going, I started needing it. And then I would be going, I love to tell this story because it's so powerful. I remember I was going to Charleston one morning. Getting up in the morning, I was driving to Charleston, 4-hour drive, meet all day with a customer, leave at 5, head back home. I got up that Wednesday morning. I said, God, you know my heart. It's been a terrible week. Work's beating me up. Life's beating me up. I sure would like to be in church, but you know that ain't going to be possible. Get down to get to working at about 2 o'clock. They walk in and said, Jeff, we are so sorry you come all this way for this short amount of time, but we can't meet anymore. Something's come up. And Marty, then I remembered what I could do. My first thought really was, God, I prayed and asked you if I could go to church, and you made it happen. And then I'm thinking, but man, it's 2 o'clock in Charleston. I could go down here in the water and get me a good meal. Man, I could stop at the store down here and look at something. And God would do that time and time again. And I mean, I literally, by just like Marty coming in for Charter some Wednesday nights, I literally, by the skin of my teeth, would come in. Now, do you have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you, my testimony is that, man, I need that. I need that. I need the word of life more and more. I challenge you, if you're taking notes or just to think about for a moment, it's His Word. I'm good at talking. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm good at talking. I can. Probably gave me that gift so I can do this, but I can use it against. I can use that against my family or whatever. Work, you know, His word. I'm trying. Literally, some of you might think, you know, now I've heard the saying, and I know this must be true, when you wake up in the morning, the best thing to do is you need to immediately get up and plant both feet on the ground. Don't just put one out of the way, but I've heard people say, put both feet on the ground and get going. I've tried it. It works. But I've also made the statement that I feel like I need to hear something from His Word, the Word of life, before I hear anything from my family. And I still study and have some devotion times, but I literally developed a habit. I grab my phone off the bedside. I mean, if you got the phone by your bedside, and I get my devotion on my phone, and I literally catch that scripture and that before I get up now. I usually read a Proverbs. Just take a moment before I get up to get in the shower. Because it's His word. Because when I wake up, my words are ready. Amen. I got my words. And everybody else has got their words. But the word of life is His word. And if I don't hear the word of life in the morning, then it's going to be my words and not His words that go out. It's His sayings. I think because I'm not a great reader. I'm like Brother Johnny. He says some people love to read. And reading is so important if you're going to learn God, if you're going to grow in the Lord, reading the Bible and reading other books. But I don't naturally just love to read, maybe like some of you. But Brother Johnny says what you've got to have is discipline to read. And so even though I read some, I love, you know, short verses. And I love little sayings and little quotes and little short things. I guess I love Twitter because it's a short phrase about something. You know, I love things. But we love sayings, right? These sayings, you know, we love to say them. But so many of those little sayings that we love and hold on to and share repeatedly in situations, David, they're not His sayings. His sayings is what the word is. It's His account. And don't forget that as we leave, we just touched on that this morning. You need His account of where you're at now in your life, where you've been, and where you're at right now, where you're going. Not your account. I'm telling you, your wife and your family and your children and your pastor and all of us, we are so forgiving and so graceful and so loving. But we need the word of life to come in and say, you're off. You've off. You've gotten off somewhere. We said it was His speech. We're good at that, aren't we? Something happens and we give a speech. I love to give a speech to my wife. Something's happened, so I'll give my speech. My children love to give me a speech. Speech. And you know, we don't always do this, but here's what we're doing in our heart, Christian. We're getting up on the podium and we're giving our speech. You do it with friends, do it at work. My speech. What we need is His speech, His word. And the last one, the more I look at it, it's become my favorite one. And that was one passing word. As I studied the word, it's a thing. A thing is real. Amen. That's a thing. We give it a name of an offering plate, but it's a real thing. So what he's saying is my word is more than just spiritual. It's a thing. It's a real thing. It's His thing. And I like things. Amen. Somebody with me? I like things. And he says, but if you don't like my thing, my word of life more than anything else, all the other things that you can do or buy or be a part of are all going to be distractions from the word of life. It's a beautiful day. I said several times this morning, you take Jesus and add a morning like this, I got a lot of things I'd like to spend the rest of the day doing. I pray God will, if this not be true, that God will reveal it to me and to you, and I make it right. But I'll come back tonight at 6 because I need more of the word of life. I need to worship Him. I need to get ready for next week. And as much as I'd like to spend the rest of the afternoon outside, you know, preachers, we have things we like to do just like y'all. We really do. But I'll come back not because I'm the pastor and not because we have Sunday night service, but because I need to be around people that have the word of life in their life. That's why I let Mike share. That's what the men shared last Sunday night. I need more of the word of life. Desperately. Would you bow with me? In a crowd this big, there's someone that you've never had that word of life become real, and that you've asked Jesus to come in your heart. And I pray that during this invitation, you would even right now pray and ask Him to forgive you and receive Him. And come, and as during the invitation, come and let me put you with someone that opened the word of life and opened the Bible and let Christ give you new life. It's the gospel, it's the good news. Out of all the bad news in your life and the world, there's good news this morning. The word of life says, I can give you a life. And He says in John 10:10, that He's come to give you life in it abundantly. If you need Jesus, don't leave without Jesus. How about it, Christian? Do you just need more of His word? Do you need to come to an altar this morning and say, God, forgive me for the time that I don't spend in your word, and forgive me for the time that I don't devote to you, and help me to rise up from here, walking closer with you. And maybe God's called you to be part of our church family. Open the doors. Wherever the need is, would you let His word speak to you right now, not mine. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.